a good group of men. Father's Day.
Order.
Thank you. Oh, children, you may be dismissed for Children's Church. Really, having you guys up here to sing is a good introduction to Father's Day because it reminds us of what the Bible says about male leadership. That Christianity in the home and in the churches is to be something that's led by the fathers, by the men. And we as men, I don't quite understand it. We have this ability to, in many cases, recede back into the back, you know, when it comes to church. And we need to kind of battle against that, you know. I don't know if it's an old cowboy image or what it is, you know. But it's not the Bible image of a man or a father. Psalm 105. I want to challenge our fathers to give a rich, sustaining heritage to their children. As Don read Psalm 105, I would just again assured that is exactly what Psalm 105 is talking about. The heritage that the fathers give to the children. And as you were reading through, oh Don, you're gone, I can't even talk to you. As Don was reading through it, I thought, wow, a guy could preach on that for a month and a half and not be done. I'm not going to spend a month and a half on it this morning, so don't worry. I want to ask you, fathers, what are you giving to your children that will enable them to deal with the customary trials and rigors of life? Have you ever thought about that, man? As I get older, I think that now, in my head, I could do a better job of a father than I did. But we just had the grandchildren for 4 days, and I know I can't do it. Don't have the energy and the strength for it anymore. So maybe I can help some of you young fathers to kind of set your attention on some things that, of all the things that you're doing, one of the most important things you're doing is preparing your children for life. Now, as I say that, I address a lot of grandfathers. And there's a reason they chose to delineate that with the word grand. We are the grandest fathers of them all. And what a joy it is. And our leadership in the lives of our children doesn't end when they grow up and have families of their own. It continues to extend. I still talk to my children every week. And I talk to many of my grandchildren every week. And I'm able to yet extend my influence into their lives. You know what I'd like to be able to do for my grandchildren? First of all, what I'd like to do for all my children. Three. When they grew up, I'd like to have been able to send them to college and be able to fully pay the bill. I wasn't able to do that. But they all got through college. One thing Charlotte's always wanted us to be able to do was to help our kids get a good start. We'd like to have bought each one of them a house to get started with. I can't buy them a frying pan. And the older I get, the more I realize that none of those things are all all that important. What I can give to my children is a godly heritage. And that'll equip them for everything else. And that's what this text is about. Teaching our children to deal with the customary trials and rigors of life. The challenges of education, careers, marriage, child rearing, and in the end, the encroachment of old age. I call my son and I say, "Now, son, I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but I want to tell you what's going on in my body because you've got my genes. And this is what it feels like and this is what it looks like. And I have found that this is a way that I can deal with it. I wish my dad would have had some chats like that with me." Are we preparing our kids for life? Is that not our real assignment? I want to add to that this question. Can we really prepare our children so that they will not bail out when the trials of life surround like a cloud? Oh, we find so many today bailing out on their commitments, looking for an easier path, a more comfortable way, rather than being men and women, boys and girls of integrity. And in terms of today, those who can grab life by the horns. The course of our morning thoughts are, it is the heritage that is provided by the example and pattern of a godly father that makes a great difference in our children's lives. And I want to encourage you about that. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word together today to consider this matter of a godly heritage for our children, help us as dads and granddads to see some very simple things that we can do that will serve to provide a godly heritage for our children. Grant us that simple understanding of this text this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Join me in Psalm 105. We're really just going to look at the first verse, although we're going to illustrate it by many of the things that occur within the text. Verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds." Those are going to be the three thoughts that we're going to talk to you about today as fathers. Number 1, give thanks unto the Lord. Number 2, call upon his name. And number 3, make known his deeds. That first phrase, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." I want to challenge you men and you granddads this morning. Who or what do you credit for the blessings of life? When your children listen to you about your walk through life, the challenges that you faced, the things that you achieve, what do they hear in the background of all of that regarding who you credit for those achievements? We are in a day of imbalanced can-doism. It began back in the 70s with a kind of a new phenomenon that came upon America due to the wealth that we were experiencing, and it was the surfacing of motivational speakers. One of the great ones was Zig Ziglar. And I would recommend to you, I know two books he wrote, The Confessions of a Happy Christian, and I forget what the other one was. Well, you can forget the other one. Get his Confessions of a Happy Christian. It's a good reading. And he talks about this can-do spirit. And he talks to about whatever you want to do, you can do it. Well, now, a motivational speaker can be that imbalance, but we as pastors and teachers of God's Word don't have the opportunity to be so imbalanced as that. And while it is good to read those books and for our children to understand that they're going to have to give their fullest and best effort to life, they need to understand that without God, we can do nothing. And that needs to be a theme of every man's life. That what I have at the hand of God by His good grace upon me. You must balance your life with that. Look with me at James chapter 4. James warns us very particularly about this can-do spirit. In James chapter 4, verse 13, he says this, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what you ought to say is this, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. All other boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Men, you know now that for you to boast and say, I have done this by the sweat of my brow and by the intelligence of my head and by my diligent work and by my refusal to quit, to say that without crediting God is sin. And you are setting your children up for failure. Our text again, give thanks unto the Lord. Good, solid, strong, godly Christians have always been characterized by a great appreciation for divine providence. We don't preach about that much anymore. The subject is too deep. And quite frankly, the world doesn't like it because it limits them to the activity of God rather than the freedom of their own will. In Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. If I were to give you to that, in 21st century Christianity, it would sound like this. Some trust in hard work. Some trust in education. But we are going to trust in our God. Does that mean we don't have to work hard? No. The Bible is clear. Those who don't work shouldn't eat. The Bible is clear. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But we are to do it in trust for God, with God. Give God thanks. Now, I want you to see this in the text. I want you to see it coming up out of the text. Psalm 105, verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. And he brake the whole staff of bread, and he sent a man before them. Who was this? What are we talking about? You can answer me. Joseph. God had a plan. for incubating his nation. And he called a young man, Joseph, and treated him rudely to prepare him for that job. Then he brought a great famine in the land and chased all of those people down to Egypt. Joseph had been sent ahead of them to prepare a way for them. Was this wonderful preparation for Israel accountable to Joseph? No. It was accountable to a divine God who ordered everything according to the counsels of his will. And Joseph accounted for that on the birth of his two sons. Manasseh, here's the heritage he gave to that boy. God makes me forget. What is that message to his oldest son, Manasseh? Manny boy, when your daddy grew up, he was hated by all of his brothers. Matter of fact, one day they were going to kill me, and my older brother, Reuben, stood up for me, and I didn't get killed. I got sold as a slave instead. And I got sent down here to Egypt. Manny, I wasn't a king at that time. I was a poor slave. And I ended up in this household, and they treated me rudely and misrepresented what I did, and they threw me into a darker dungeon, and I stayed there. They had me bound in irons. I was treated like a common criminal, Manny. But Manny, look at where we are now. I'm second in command in all this nation. And Manny, I want you to know that God has caused me to forget all those hard times. It's God who did this, Manny. For me. He had a second son. His name was Ephraim. Ephraim's name means God hath made me fruitful. When he bounced Effie on his knee. And Effie enjoyed being in the richest home in all of Egypt. Having anything he wanted. Joseph said, now Effie, I want you to know something. It's God who gave us this. It didn't come by my hard work. It didn't come by my intelligence. God gave us this for a purpose. And you be careful, Effie. Don't you get tied up to all these good things. It's God that made me fruitful. We didn't achieve it by our own strength, our own wisdom. Joseph's first gift to his sons was a godly heritage. He would gather his boys around him and say, boys, this is what God has done for us. Give thanks unto the Lord. A godly father credits God for the blessings of his life. I suggest to you we have greatly robbed the glory and reality of providence. It is no longer a part of our lives, our culture, or even our churches. We credit what is accomplished to our own hard work and ingenuity. I've been to altogether too many, and you may weary me saying this, and I'm sorry, but I've been to all too many church growth seminars where that pastor of that church stood up and says, this is how we did it, and you can do it too. That is heresy. At its very core, and it's in the greatest pulpits of our land. It's so clearly said in the book of Acts, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Period. Give thanks unto the Lord. The second phrase we have here is call upon his name. Who or what do you call upon for help? Is it obvious that your trust is in God? Now, even as we begin to speak about this, do you understand that this assumes that there are going to be periods of trial and hardship in your life? They're going to come. And they're going to give you an opportunity as a father to pattern trust in God before your children. That's what it's for. It's your opportunity to call upon God. Now, I want you to see how this works itself out. Back in Psalm 105 again, verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. That's the first observation that's made by somebody who calls upon God. The things that are happening here are being moved and orchestrated by God. Not by the President of the United States. Not by the Chairman of the UN. And not even by Bill Gates or the Illuminati. It's being done by God. God sits in the heavens, and He runs this world according to the course of His will, period. And a godly father knows that I need to call on God because God's the one who's calling the shots. He is our Lord. His judgments are in all the earth. Now notice verse 8. He hath remembered His covenant forever. Here, the Jewish man is talking to his Jewish children about all the promises that God has made. He said, God has made all of these promises to us. So when we come to these days of hardship, we're going to call on Him. Because faithful is He that promised. Have we taught our kids in a way that when the hardships of life come, they know the promises of God's Word and will be equipped to call upon Him? One Old Testament story that occurs to me that is so good. God called and made these promises initially to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Then you know it was about 50 years before he got the kid. And then when that young man was about 12 years old, God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, lest you think you're going to get Ishmael in here, you take Isaac, whom thou lovest. And get thee up to a mountain that I will show you, and there offer him for a sacrifice. Dads, I can't imagine that. God really did that to Abraham. What? I don't know what kind of discussion Abraham had with God that day, but it ended up with, yes, Lord. And Abraham walked out into the unknown with his boy. Up they went, Mount Moriah. And Isaac said to Dad, Dad, here's the wood. Here's the fire. But where's the sacrifice? And Abraham reached down to the bottom of his soul, to the very depth, to where he finally found the resources to say, my son, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. He had no idea what God was going to do. He took that son up there, and he bound him and put him on the wood, raised his knife over him, and God withheld his hand. Said, Abraham, now I know that you won't withhold anything from me. Look behind you. There's a ram caught in the thicket. Do our kids see that kind of obedience in our hearts to God and our willingness to trust Him and call on Him? I'm not volunteering for any trial like Abraham had. No thanks. I don't want to get close to that. Call upon his name. A godly father is known by trusting in and calling on God. You know, here's just a paltry little example of that. My good friend Tom Murray. He was a school teacher, taught graphic arts for years in high school. And then he went into his own printing business. And he had this goofy idea about being a businessman and being a printer. And I'm not saying you have to do it this way, but this is the way Tom did it. He said, I'm not going to advertise. I'm just going to trust God to bring the business in I need. Whatever it brings me, I'm going to do, and I'm going to live on that. And I heard him talk to his kids about that, because his kids all work for him in the printing business. And he would say it like this. He says, you know what? When we're done with this job, we don't have anything more to do. He says, I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. And God always did something. He always did. Tom didn't have enough time to take vacation. God just kept him busy. Tom's children are all walking with the Lord, too. Call upon his name. And then the last thing, make known his deeds. I like to just change that a little bit. I don't think I'm doing any despite to the scripture. Make known his deeds among your children. Make known his deeds. This is the full context of Psalm 105. It's all about God's deeds in the life of Israel. Boy, I noticed some new things as Don was reading through that today that just blessed my soul. Notice verse 25. Speaking here about the Egyptians, after they had treated the Egyptians so white, look what he did. He turned their hearts to hate the people. He made the Egyptians hate his people. Why? Because that was part and process of getting them out of the land. You know, some things that look bad often happen to us. And we wonder, where did that come from? God's doing it. Why? To do something good. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. While there is the testimony of your giving thanks to God and the testimony of your calling upon his name, do not neglect the biblical history of his deeds. God calls upon us as fathers to give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and now make known his deeds among your children. The concrete, verifiable testimony of God's word alone will supply the firm and uncrumbling support that your children will need as they face the trials of life when they are all alone. Time is going to come when your son has taken a new wife and everything seems to be falling apart. The time is going to come when your daughter has taken a new husband and they're off in their own little place getting their life going. Things just aren't at all as she imagined they would be. What will sustain them at that time? What will carry them through? The testimony of God's deeds. The more they know about God, the more they know about how he works with his people, the more they can identify with the circumstances of their life and see God's hand in their lives. They need to know about Noah, the lesson of patience, and Abraham, and Joseph, and Moses, and Joshua, and Gideon, and David. These wonderful testimonies of God. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The testimonies of God make wise the simple." As much as we work on our kids, we're sending out some simpletons into life who just haven't dealt with reality yet. But the testimonies of God will equip them to deal with that. All the resources we give to our children, when we begin, as soon as they're young enough to hear and begin to understand, reading them the stories out of Egemeyer's Bible story book. Now, every young family here, I know you've got Egemeyer's because we gave it to you. Because we know you can't raise your kids without Egemeyer's. It's got the stories and it's got the pictures. And those stories and pictures will last with your kids for all their lives. They'll see the picture of Abraham taking Isaac up the mountain. They'll see the picture of David facing Goliath. And folks, that's just the beginning. After that, we train them in the Scriptures. They memorize the Scriptures. They're in Sunday school class. Here at Bethel, your kids will go through the Bible 3 times if they complete Sunday school here. Biblical education. Make known His deeds among your children. A godly father makes God's deeds known to his children. So, 3 simple guidelines for dads today. Give thanks to God for all that you have. Let your kids know that that's who you credit. For a roof over your head. For wheels under your seat, for a job to go to, and for the food on the table. Call upon His name. Let your kids see you and understand that we're having a little tough time here, kids, right now, and we can't afford to go out for supper, but I want you to know that Mommy and I were just trusting the Lord, and we're calling on Him, and we want to encourage you to pray too. That God will take care of this particular need. And then make His deeds known. And say, you know, we're calling on God. And I want to show you here in the Bible story what God did for Gideon. What God did for Hezekiah. What God did in the feeding of the 5,000. Children, that's our God. And these are His deeds. You can do that, dads. Very simple. Give thanks, call on His deeds, call on His name, and make His name known, or make His deeds known among your children. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Father, that we know how to be fathers. And what we have to do is not all that complex. Just live a transparent life of a Christian father, thanking You, trusting You, rejoicing in Your deeds. Grant, Father, that we will be that kind of dads and granddads, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 168 closing this morning. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Here's a way you can keep that promise. Be Thou forever near me, my master, my friend. I shall not fear the battle if Thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if Thou will be my guide. Stand with me, please, as we sing it. We're going to sing stanza 1 and 2. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Be Thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I I shall not fear the battle. If thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway, if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Often when we do a message like this, there is that, I think, woeful sullenness that Satan would bring upon us, that we would regret that I've not done the job I should do as a father. Well, join the I have not done the job as I should father group. I'm the president. Let's go on from here. Let's not wallow in the poor things we did. Let's learn and move ahead. We have a God who does that for us, moves us on.